join us for an encouraging word from our senior pastor, Greg Thurstenson. Here's the message.
In the event that you are not a big Facebook fan, or in the event you are and have not been on the Facebook this week, our journey began last Sunday morning in a new series. A series that's going to emphasize more the willingness and the obedience unto the Lord than it is the wrestling and the obstinance with the Lord. Because, ladies and gentlemen, Dominion Church, as of Sunday night, had 95 adults come for a special called business meeting. And all 95 of those adults present voted to sell this building. And what that means is we have made our first step towards our 30, almost 31 acres of property located at 6400 Calder Drive. And then if you noticed on Thursday afternoon, we sat down and officially signed the contracts to sell this building and move forward. 259 people have come into agreement with our move forward on Facebook by pushing the like button. And I'm excited about what God is doing with a projected close date of July 1st. Friend, we don't have much time. It's time to pack our bags, break ground, and move forward. I was so inspired, Teresa, by your song. I think I'm just going to lead us in that song, Moving Forward. And how many of you have heard me sing and think that might not be the best of ideas? Security, if you'd remove that man on the back row. As we turn to Exodus 35, we see that God is beginning to release his people into the next season of what he has for them. Much like us, they have something that he has encouraged them to step into and to move forward. In this next season of their lives, he will not only move them into a building program, but he will move them into a building. It won't be just any old building. It will be a tabernacle. And more than a tabernacle, it will be a house of his presence. He knows all of the work that he has called them to do. And yet his first command and their first step is to enter into a season of rest. Before they even break ground, God takes them back to his commands to respect the Sabbath. He calls them into a season of rest, and when God speaks to us about moving into a season of rest, it says to us, this is a prerequisite. This is a prescription for doing God-sized, God-commanded things in our life. We join their story in Exodus 35 and verse 1, where it says, then Moses assembled all of the congregation of the sons of Israel, and he said to them, these are the things that the Lord has commanded you to do. For 6 days, work may be done. But on the seventh day, you shall have a holy day, a Sabbath of complete rest to the Lord. Whoever does any work on it shall be put to death. Now, I want you to think about that the next time you think about missing church on Sunday morning. God is clear here. Whoever does any work on the Sabbath will be what? Put to death. It's a strict but simple call to obedience. He's not asking them to rest forever. He's asking them to rest and respect the person, the principle, and the power in that day. You see, when you respect God's commands, it releases the blessing of God's command. I like how the psalmist says it in Psalms 46 and verse 10. He says, be still. Be still. That's a little easier said than done in a spirit-filled church. It's a little bit like in worship, one of us standing up and saying, be quiet. Don't clap your hands. Don't come and stand in the front and pray in the spirit. Don't raise your hands. Be quiet. But he continues and says, be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. We learn together that being still positions us to see and to hear God. Not only that, but it positions us to see the provisions that God has promised and that God has reserved for this new season. Secondly, we learn that being still, it sets us free from busyness. It's the kind of busyness that can betray our trust in God. You see, friend, we live in a society that is on the go, and it values busyness. As a result, we are habitually connected to computers and caffeine. I want to remind you that busyness is not a badge of honor, but busyness is a sad and seductive addiction. That overdone busyness is a lack of focus on God and His provision. However, being still is the gold standard for serious followers of Christ. Look around the room. There's some serious followers of Christ here today. And God has called you into a season of building. Building a house for Him. I remember when we first came here, they told us what the price tag would be. I remember them then telling me, the builder coming back to me and saying, it will be about $250,000 more to get this building ready for a service. I remember the bank telling us, you're going to owe us roughly $1.15 million. Then I remember just a few short years after that, us having the opportunity to buy 30.5 acres of land for what it would cost to traditionally and normally buy just 3 acres of land. I remember people telling me that submitting a bid of $750,000 to Exxon was ridiculous, that they'll never go for it until they did. I remember going to downtown Houston to officially sign on the dotted line that said, now Dominion Church, which had been homeless in 7 different other locations, had finally found not just a place to begin building a home, but a home that would not just be for us, it would be a home for Him. I remember going up in the elevator. I remember meeting our board. I remember us meeting in a room that overlooked all of Houston. I remember looking out that window, and I remember hearing the voice of the Lord say to me very clearly, for such a time as this. I knew the power of this moment, but never did I imagine the ability of God's power for a moment now, several years later, that we stand in which God is saying to each and every one of you, I am like the presence of a cloud by day and a pillar of my presence by fire at night. But even now, as I have been with you in days before, I am beginning to make the move to Calder Road. What you have seen as impossible in days before you, now I will make possible in the days ahead of you. I want to be a part of God's moving. I want to be a part of God's building. And even more than me want to be a part, God wants us to play a part. How many of you would raise your hand and say, you know what, Pastor? In the little downtime I have, I like to watch movies. How many of you just raise your hands and keep them up? I like to watch a good movie. I love to watch movies because for me, they're a chance to live out some of my dreams. For me, I do more than sit on the couch, but I choose someone in that movie, and I kind of live vicariously through them. Now, when I choose a part, I don't choose the part of a loser. I don't choose a part of someone who's just a part of the crowd and never has a part. You see, at the end of the movie, I don't want my name in the credit that says the crowd played by and then 500 names. I want to be the person that's up front, that's in the driver's seat, that's at the center of what the message of that movie is all about. And more than me want that for myself, God wants that for each and every one of us. God has not just given you and me a bit part. God has made us lead actors and lead actresses. And He's saying, man, I am beginning to unfold a movie that's filled with a message that has my momentum and has my provision. And I want you to take the stage of history and not just take the stage of history, but I want you to make history as you build a house for me. I remember that day because we were still trying to pay on the $1.15 million. And that day would ask of us another $700,000. And I thought, wow, to move into 401 Landing Boulevard, $1.15 million. To move to Calder Road or to buy the property, $750,000 with $50,000 down. But now to step into this time, to have the opportunity to move with Him and to build with Him as He moves and builds, I'd say, my friend, that is priceless. God wants us at the center of His will. He wants His will to guide us from the center of our life. I love how one writer talks about busyness and slowing down and being still. He says, God grows bigger when you slow down and rest in the shadow of His stature. He said, it's in your stillness that you see the unseen activity of the Almighty. The Holy Spirit is melting hearts. He is orchestrating authorities in your life to bend them and to bend you toward God. He is drawing men and women to Himself in the middle of Christless cultures. Stillness shows you what your Savior is up to and gives you a lively hope that can still be yours. Stillness shows you the way, for stillness is God's way of working with you. Stillness actually saves time. Be still, Dominion Church, and you will see Him exalted among the nations and in the earth, for stillness knows God. I'm reminded of a cute little girl that we used to know that was in a previous church that we were a part of the leadership team, and she would often get in trouble. She wanted to play the lead part before the part was even hers. And she was a precious little girl, but she was ornery. She was always moving, as if she had already had 2 cups of coffee. She was too young to drink coffee, but man, did she have the energy of someone highly over-caffeinated. And her mom would tell us the funniest stories with her. And one time she told us this story of having to tell her daughter, sweetie, this that you've done is wrong. I want you to go sit in the corner, and I want you to be still. And I want you to think about what you've done. So the little girl went and she sat in the corner and she was looking at the wall, and her mom asked her, have you thought about what you've done? And she said, yes, mommy, I have. She said, are you being still? She said, yes, mommy, on the outside, but in my shoes, my toes are still moving. I thought that described so well how you and I sometimes can be. God will call us into a season of stillness, but our toes are still busy. We're still trying to help God out. We're still trying to fix this thing. We're still trying to resolve something that only He can resolve. In Exodus 35, God was wanting His people to rest in the shadow of His unseen, almighty activity. And we learn here that we will be wise as a church to be still and see how God will build His house. So in verse 4 now, let's read together where it says in the New International Version that Moses is talking to the whole church, and he says, this is what the Lord has commanded. From what you have, take an offering for the Lord. Everyone who is willing is to bring to the Lord an offering of gold, silver, and bronze, blue, purple, and scarlet yarn and fine linen, goat hair, ram skins dyed red, and another type of durable leather, acacia wood, olive oil for the light, spices for the anointing oil and for the fragrant incense, and onyx stones and other gems to be mounted on the ephod and breastpiece. Here, through the prophet Moses, God is giving His people a now word. Now words are powerful because they establish both the authority and the activity of God. Moses is telling the people, this is where God's authority, this is where God's ability, and this is where God's activity lies. This is where He is. We must move forward with Him. Moses is saying to the whole Israelite community in verse 4, this new season, this building, this place of His presence, even this offering, it's not for us, it's for the Lord. It's what the Lord has commanded. The Lord wants to take up residence, and He wants to dwell among us. Moses is saying as their pastor, this is not my thing. This tabernacle is not my thing. It's a God thing. He's the one doing both the building and the asking. Now notice in verse 5. It's God who's saying, take an offering from what you have already have. He's the one that's having and saying to Moses to take an offering for me. That everyone who is willing to bring to the Lord an offering of gold, silver, and bronze should bring that offering now. I want to pause and remind us, this offering comes from God's command, not from Moses' clever fundraising techniques. I want to remind you that this is God's normal way of channeling resources to His work. This is the way God works. And that gifts are generally brought by His people, and they're brought with a willing heart. Moses didn't have to manipulate, threaten, or guilt the people into giving. Pastor Greg will not have to resort to manipulation, threats, intimidation, and guilt. So, ushers, if you'd lock the door, please. Why did Moses not have to? Why does your pastor not have to feel that pressure? I believe it's because God's house was never intended to be built out of wrestling and obstinance, but out of willingness and obedience. I think the Bible's really clear. Romans 8 and verse 1 says, there is therefore now. There is therefore. Speak to where you are now and declare now. There is therefore now no condemnation. Not to our physical temple, nor to our spiritual tabernacle, because we are in Christ Jesus, and we walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. I'm convinced that God could have caused the money and the materials to appear by a supernatural miracle. Yet he chose to fund his supernatural work through the willing gifts of his people. Think about this for a moment. Here's a holy God who demonstrated his power by delivering them from the Pharaoh in Egypt. Here's the mighty God who stands with them before the Red Sea, with the Red Sea in front of them, with impossible and crossable mountains beside them, and with angry Pharaoh and all of his army behind him. Here is a God who has Moses raise his rod and speak to an uncrossable ocean and it parts. Here is a God who now says, more than do something for you, I want to be with you. I want to be with you. I want to dwell with you. I want to be among you. And so therefore, in order for that to happen, I want you to build a place for me. It's priceless that a holy God would want to dwell with us. Not just do stuff for us, but dwell with us. So I love the way the Apostle Paul takes the subject of giving. And he encourages us to look at it through healthy financial principles and practices. He says this in 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 6, to remember this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Each of you should give what you have decided in your heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a... My mom used to ask me to take out the trash. And some days she had to ask me more than a few times. I would finally do that which she asked of me, but it was far from a cheerful giver and heart. And my mom tells these stories of how I would just get off the couch, I'm sure this doesn't sound familiar. I'm sure you've never seen this with your children or with your spouse. But my mom saw it with her son who would grow up and someday be a preacher. And she would tell the story how I'd go all around the house and she wouldn't even have to ask where I was, because no matter where I was in that two-story house, she could hear me. She said, I could hear you upstairs in the bathrooms and in the bedrooms clanging around as you got the trash. I could hear you. And sometimes I'd even say from downstairs, I can hear you. So I would end up taking the trash out, and I would do it with such a bad attitude. There was no glory. There was no reward for obedience. I would be so frustrated because of what my mom asked of me that I had the audacity, because we lived out in the country and we had one barrel that was for burning and one barrel that was for aerosol cans or cans. I would have the audacity to go out there and put the whole bag of trash, not even sort it, put the whole bag of trash in the burn barrel. I'll never forget the day, because I enjoyed, even in those days, the fire of the Holy Spirit. I remember one day when I lit that fire, and I was just looking at that fire, and I was adding things to the fire that I thought would make it greater and bigger and better. It was in that moment that I felt more warmth of a fire than anyone should feel, because I had not separated the aerosol cans from that which is supposed to be burned. And it was in that moment that that fire got a hold of a hairspray can that had a little hairspray left in it. And the next thing I heard was kaboom! Through what little sight I had left in that moment, I saw a mushroom cloud. In the next moment, I smelt something burning. That something was me. I ran in the house and my eyebrows were gone. The top of my hair was gone. My ear was singed. And for a week, everything tasted like barbecue. See, I got the job done. I finished the work, but there was no reward. It hurts me when you get joy out of my pain. I'm just going to tell you that right now. For God loves a cheerful giver. I call this church into a time of rest. I want you to take a deep breath. And I want you to hear your Moses say that we've moved into a season where we're going to respect and reverence the Sabbath. And I want to put any rumors to rest or any fears to rest that we're going to berate you into giving. I kind of thought that would go over better. But anyway, that this is a time where each and every one of us can answer the opportunity to give. That God is going to ask each of us to only do our part. That we don't have to measure our part to someone else. We only just want to find ourselves willing to do our part. And to do it out of a cheerful heart. See, I ended up doing what my mom wanted, but it was far from a cheerful heart. And I've kind of let that moment be fresh in me for the rest of my life to remind me that when God asks something of me, He wants me not just to do it on the outside and look faithful and obedient, but He wants it to come from a heart of faithfulness and obedience. Verse 8 said that God is able to bless you abundantly so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. As it is written, they have freely scattered their gifts to the poor. Their righteousness endures forever. Now he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food and also will supply and increase your store of seed and will enlarge the harvest of your righteousness. You will be enriched in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion, and through us your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God. This service that you perform is not only supplying the needs of the Lord's people, but is also overflowing in many expressions and thanks to God. So take a deep breath and know that this is going to be a season of respecting and reverencing the Sabbath. It's going to be a season of rest in this church's history. It's going to be a season of willingness, of a relationship with the Lord that simply says, Lord, what's my part? And as the Lord speaks that, it's going to be a season of each of us cheerfully giving. God can build His house. Let's let Him. Let's get on the edge of our seats and take a stand and look into eternity and look into the future of what God has asked of us and see the promises that He will abundantly bless us with. That's a choice. More than a feeling, it's a choice. This last couple weeks, my wife and I have had a couple of opportunities to do something that we really love and we really enjoy, and that is to go car shopping. I don't know if you're like we are, but we love to go car shopping. We love to pull up in front of a dealership. We love to meet the person coming out to sell us our future, and we love to look at every make and model that's possible. There's something in me, though, that has to be very careful in that moment to leave room for eternity. Are you growing? Are you breathing? Now let's keep moving. When we start, we generally start in our price range. And I find that I'm pretty disappointed. When the dealer's salesman says, that's the base model you got there, but just a few $1,000 more will get you a whole lot more. Let me show you. And then when I slip into that new car, I'm like, I just was born for new. I love the smell, I love the look, and I love the feel of new. I was born to drive a new car. See, we started out where we should be, the 2012 model. That's already been driven. That has other smells in it. Not new. Maybe new for me, but not new. We start there. It's broke in a little bit, got a little stain in the carpet, got a little this, got a little that. It has some wear and tear on it. But here's the key. I can afford it. It's within my means. And yet there's something in me that calls me to move forward. And the salesman knows that part of me. And he'll say things like, sir, you appear to be a very knowledgeable, educated, professional man. Well, yes, I am. You know, a man your age, with your look, he deserves more. Well, yes, I do. You know, sir, I don't mean to make your personal finances my business, but I think you're going to be a lot happier with this upgrade. Now, this 2012, it's a nice car, but you know, there's nothing like having your own car. And sir, I can see you in this new car. I see by the way you dress that you like nice things. You like color and chrome. We have all of that in this 2014, that I can make to you the greatest deal we have ever made to any person in all of the history. In fact, we're going to lose money on this deal. I see some of you bought cars before. And so I'm sitting in that car, and I see myself pulling in front of the church. That's right, brother. I've arrived to that deluxe apartment in the sky. And now I've got the car to prove it. And I can see in my mind this thought machine, this movie begin to move in motion. And I can see myself, how much more comfortable I'll be on the long trips I sometimes have to make. I can see myself pulling into Shipley's, picking up my coffee, and praying to God I don't spill it on my new car. I can hear people tell me how great that car looks on me and how great I look in that car. And then my wife comes and asks me a very important question. Suddenly the little thought bubble goes boom when she says, but is that where we are? Baby, I know you love that car. And I'm just telling you right now, First Lady thinks you look good in that car. But is that where you are? Is that where we are at? And I've had to say, no. No, that's not where we are. That's not where I am. Because if I choose to buy this car, it eats up the space of giving that keeps me from using my giving to accomplish eternal things. It means I'm going to impose condemnation in my life. When the offering plate goes by, I'm going to feel condemned because I can't give. Because I have to support my habit, my new car. See, sometimes eternal decisions are not necessarily made on Sunday morning. It's Monday afternoon. It's Tuesday morning. It's in what we say yes to, and it's in what we say no to. And I found if I'll allow myself to just be still and be willing to just hear what the Lord has to say, I'll hear the Lord say, not this, but this. And it'll leave space for me to give eternally to what he's asking for. As as he says, I'm ready to build my house. Now I want you to be a partner in building it. Friend, over the next days, weeks, months, and years, God's going to give us an invitation to be still. Know that's the busiest time in the Spirit for you. That's the most blessed time in the Spirit for you. Use those moments wisely and say to the Lord, Lord, yes, I'll be still. Even my toes will be still. And Lord, I'm willing to be obedient. I'm willing to get out of the 2014 I deserve and get in the 2012. I'm willing to make whatever concession. Some of you are sitting here this morning and you're thinking, man, I just wish I had a car that began with the numbers 20. You think you got problems. And that's the reality. And that's where I want to leave you this morning. So I want you to feel at rest with wherever you are in life, because God knows exactly where you are. And whatever seems so hopeless to you is where God is. And that in that moment, God is asking something of you. And it's in the gift of your giving that you find the strength of his giving. So I want you to stand as a church family. Now I want you just this morning to put your notebooks down, put your coffee cups down, put your Bibles down. And I want you just to take the next moment to pray and ask the Lord for his help. I want you to just be honest with the Lord and just tell him in your life what it is that you need his mercy and grace to accomplish. I want you just to be at rest with the fact that God is close to the brokenhearted and that he saves those who are crushed in spirit. I want you to talk to the Lord. Make it personal and just say, Lord, this is where I need your help. It's in that place of busyness that God is just saying to each of us, be still. I'll be your provision. I'll be your portion. I'll be whatever you need. Now, as a church, I want us to move from that point of our prayer to now just each of us saying, Lord, I'm willing. I'm just willing, Lord, to give whatever you ask of me. Lord, I'm willing to give my time, willing to give my talent, willing to give my treasure. I'm willing to leave space in my life for you to do eternal things, because souls lie in the balance of our move. So God, I'm going to leave space for you to do eternal things through whatever I give. And everybody prayed and said, amen. I'm going to ask Pastor Dylan to make his way to the visitor center. If you're new here this morning and you'd like to find out more about our church, or you began a reconnecting phase with the Lord in your life, or perhaps today you asked the Lord into your life for the first time, we want to invite you back to the visitor center. Pastor Dylan and other of our staff will be there this morning to greet you. Want to let you know that Pastor Clint is traveling this weekend. He and Casey were a part of performing a wedding this weekend. Pastor John is preaching out, I believe, in Dayton or the Highlands area. And so part of us are traveling and ministering today. And our hope is that you've been ministered today. And let's just pray for the city of Houston as a three-pointer put all of us in a state of mourning. And the Rockets are out of the playoffs almost as fast as they were in it. Man, I hope you have a great day. And if God be for you, let me remind you, then who can be against you? Take a moment and encourage three people on your way out. God bless you. Have a wonderful week.
This is the conclusion of the teaching. If you would like prayer, you can email us at prayerline@dominionchurch.org. or call the church at 281-554-3600. Thanks for joining us.